Well, happy Wednesday to each and all, and speak blessings over you and those gathered throughout the building, our young people and children, and those who are working and ministering to them and with them. We're grateful for each and every one of them. Hope you're having a good week and hope you've got a good coat. I do want to say thank you to, and we're just so blessed with wonderful preachers and teachers in this church. And thank you, Pastor Doc and Pastor Scary, Pastor Matt and Pastor Derek, who filled the pulpit when Mickey and I were taking on the COVID virus. And thank you for doing that and feeding our people and leading and just being who you are. We greatly love you and appreciate each one of you. Tonight I want to talk to you about how to overcome your anxieties. How to overcome your anxieties. There seems to be in our country, and it seems to be growing year by year, particularly it seems like the last decade or so, particularly, people who are struggling with just various forms of anxiety. I personally believe that it's more so than it was before, but I will also hasten to add that anxiety has been around a long time. Very early on in Scripture, we start bumping into stories and running into scriptures where we're called not to fear and to trust the Lord, and when you feel overwhelmed, to call into the Lord. There's, particularly in the Psalms, they're loaded with it. And the reason is because those were folks just like we are. They struggled just like we do. They became overwhelmed just like we can. Our world may look different. It may be moving more quickly. We have a lot more information, technology, industry, and so forth. But that same basic human struggle with fear and worry that begins to hinder and impact your ability to function in your daily life was around back then, and it's certainly prevalent today. Some of the signs of it are feeling restless or on edge. Now, every time that you're on edge, that doesn't mean that you're being anxious. It may just mean you're being mean. Sometimes feeling overly fatigued frequently, just that can be an indicator. Difficulty focusing, which means so easily distracted and disjointed by things that are going on around you. Irritability, excessive feelings of worry and that you just can't seem to manage or control. Difficulty sleeping, and on and on the list goes. But fear and worry, worry really is a form of fear in and of itself, but all of us have probably had times in our life, some of you may be in the middle of a time like that right now, where you just are overwhelmed by all the stuff that's going on, and you just find difficulty coping with it, handling it, managing it. You may feel like that last nerve that just got stepped on, it's just hanging by a thread. And it can affect people a different way. As I've mentioned, you can become irritable and on edge and cranky and grumpy and so forth. Or you may withdraw. And if you withdraw too much, you can begin to have depression along with your anxiety. Anxiety is more of coping and dealing with that fear and worry, where depression often is rooted in worthlessness or hopelessness. And one can certainly give way to the other, and they can run in tandem. But what do we do when we're overly anxious? All of us have anxious moments where, oh, okay, deep breath, all right, I got this, and we move on, and we handle it, and we deal with it. Every stay-at-home mom knows they learn to shift those gears all throughout the day, right? But when it it comes to roost, if you will. The chickens come home to roost. When it comes to stay and it begins to occupy you excessively, and it's like you are controlled by it rather than being able to manage and control it, then it becomes problematic. And there are a lot of different ways that it's treated. Some people look for an answer at the bottom of a bottle. Some look for it in the bottom, it could be a liquor bottle or a pill bottle. And some people do occupy themselves and just get lost in a hobby and get into escapism and to the point where they're denying their personal responsibilities, and they're not managing their life, and they're not doing the things that they need to do to live life well. And it's because anxiety just kind of gets a foothold, and it takes hold, and it takes over. How do we overcome those? And fortunately, the Bible has a lot to say about this. We're going to begin in Philippians chapter 4, because that's where we're clearly told not to be anxious. I'm going to be reading verses, I think I got a clicker here, yes, verses 6 and 7 and 8. And the first thing, before we read those scriptures, I want us to talk about the role of properly praying. The role that plays in alleviating anxiety. And what we're going to see here is we are instructed by Scripture and explicitly told that prayer is a key in alleviating anxiety in our life. Well, that's just like a preacher. Throw a prayer at it, right? Well, no, it's just like the Lord. He's telling us, if you'll talk to me about this, I'll help you with it. Okay, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. Now, that thing you're anxious about, does it plug in here? Be anxious for nothing. In other words, there's no thing that we need to allow to enslave us with anxiety. This is the imperative here. Be anxious for nothing. But, that's a good... what's called in the Greek language a conjunction, in English too, a conjunction of contrast. Instead of being anxious, do this. But in everything, by prayer, everything is a direct reference to the nothing that you're tempted to be anxious about. Whatever that nothing is, everything that nothing could be. In everything, by prayer, prosuke is a Greek word here. It's the general word of directing your attention, your focus, your heart toward God and communicate with Him in prayer. So the general word in the New Testament for prayer. And sometimes we in the Christian community, our biblical words and theological terms, we hear them so often, we've heard them so long that we lose the significance and wonder of them. So in everything, talk to God. Communicate with God. Go to God with it. Take it to God in prayer. By prayer and supplication, this word for supplication is a more specific word. It's the word deisis. It means to pray for a specific, and it's kind of the idea of a urgent or felt need. In other words, this is laser prayer. You're coming in prayer, general prayer. You know you're invited to come and talk to God about this. Now, this is the this you bring before God to talk to Him about. Lord, I need to talk to you about my boss at work. I'm wanting to kill him. Whatever it is. Lord, I need to talk to you about my spouse. He or she's on that last nerve, and I'm about to have a come apart here. Now, that word come apart, say it, come apart. The word anxious, the Greek word for anxious, it literally means that. It's the word merimanao, and it's a part as opposed to the whole, a slice of the pizza instead of the whole pizza. It means to draw a part away from the other parts and to continue to do that until you have a come apart. It's literally, don't come apart at the seams. Don't let your life fall apart on you. Stay together and face this. You and God. Talk to God about it. Don't have a come apart. Don't come unglued. Don't have a meltdown. Don't trip your breakers. All of this. This is language we use in our culture. Don't do that. You don't have to. Come to God and talk to God about it. Very specific. That thing that you're feeling that's growing on you and it's just looming over you. Yeah, that thing. You talk to God about that. Because whatever that thing is, it's smaller than the God to whom you're praying. And this focusing on that need now is not empowering that thing. It's not empowering it. What you're doing it is you are focusing on it to bring it to God who has all power. And that's one of the great functions of prayer. So be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Now, isn't that interesting? With thanksgiving. And that basically means giving thanks. It's the word that means to offer or to give thanks to God. And in its roots, because it's got the word charizo in it, where we get the word grace, charis, grace giftings, and so forth. It's the idea of thanking God for His grace, being grateful. Now, we know that grace is greater than all our, right? And a lot of times the things that make us anxious, there's something sinful in it or in the perimeter that's going on, stirring that up. Or the enemy's trying to get us into the sin of unbelief and doubt and fear. God's grace is available. As you've heard me teach numbers of times out of Hebrews 4, His throne room is called the throne room of grace. We're told to come confidently into that place, and we get grace and we get mercy to help us in our time of need. You are now bringing that need by supplication, that specific petition. You're bringing it before God, and as you do, you're coming knowing, Lord, I thank You that whatever I bring before You, there is grace that will be given me to be able to handle this. Why is that important? Because it's an acknowledgement that you can't handle it without Him. It's an acknowledgement that He will give you what you don't have to be able to handle it. So, this thanksgiving is so very, very important. The power of gratitude. I'll be back in some measure on this Sunday in our superpowers series that we're doing. But tonight I want you to see that. The thanksgiving, having a grateful heart. Even before you get the grace, when you start thanking God for it, there's faith involved in that. I know instead of letting that thing overwhelm me and find myself under these circumstances, I'm going to bring this before the Lord, and He's going to give me the grace, so I will overcome this. I'll be able to endure this. I'll be able to make it through this. It's not always wave your hand and it disappears. Sometimes, no, it's very much there. You very much have to deal with it. You have to face it. You have to take it on. You have to war through it, walk through it, wait through it, worship through it, all those things. But you know that you're going to be able to handle it because God will grace you to handle it. That's the thanksgiving, with thanksgiving. Now notice this, let your request be made known to God. Your request. In other words, yes. You are to ask. You're asking for something here. It's the idea. You're making a request. You're making a request. If I said, Pastor Doc, I want you to come up here and lead in prayer, he would be right up here because I'm asking him to come. How many of you believe that Pastor Doc would come up here and do that right now? Do you have that kind of faith that God will come to you and help you with what you need from Him? that He is just as real as Pastor Doc. And as amazing as Pastor Doc is, those pythons the Lord has are a good bit bigger. So, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That literally means that. You're making it, and you're declaring it to God. You're bringing it before God. Now, does He already know about it before you make it known to Him? You're not informing Him. But yet, He says, I want you to make it known to Me. I want you to acknowledge that you have this need in your life, and I will respond to it. Now, we'll get into what He's going to do here in just a moment. But that's what He's saying. It's incumbent upon, well, the Lord knows what I need, and He'll... Well, there is the place, there are things that God desires to do for you, that God will do for you, that are not going to be done and not going to be given you until you ask. The Scripture is clear on this. Now, obviously, God does stuff for us all the time that we do not ask for. Every breath you breathe is a gift from God, and you're not sitting there tonight, Lord, help me take one more. Help me take... You're not doing that. It's just a grace gift from Him. But there are some things that He desires to do, wills to do, and will do, but only if you ask. Make your request. Make that need. Bring that urgent need, that thing that's looming over you that's trying to create anxiety in your life. You talk to God about it. You come before Him. You acknowledge it. And notice the language of just this verse 6, how frequently it's talking about talking to God. Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, your requests made known. A handful of times in that one verse that it's referencing, you go to God with this. So, and what will God do? And the peace of God. Now, it's interesting. Anxious means to come apart. Have a come apart. Emotionally, mentally, physically, because anxiety can cause all those things. It can cause you to have a loss of health. It can cause you to become deceived by your emotions. It can cause you to make bad decisions because you're not thinking clearly or seeing clearly. It can ruin relationships. It can lead to loss of productivity. On and on and on it goes. A come apart. A breakdown. But peace has the idea of being whole. The Hebrew term is shalom, to be whole, nothing missing, nothing broken. And in the Greek, irene here is the same idea of wholeness. It's more than quietness and stillness and no chaos. It's in the middle of the chaos. You have stillness and quietness, and you have a peace. Everything's been held together. Why? Because the peace of God is present, and that guards your heart and your mind, because anxiety fools with your mind and troubles your heart. But when you have peace, and I love this word here that surpasses, that it literally means it goes beyond understanding, that word for mind, your thinking, your ability, literally your ability to think, process, and draw logical conclusions. As good as you may be at that, this peace will go beyond that. That's the reason you can be in a circumstance. I hadn't figured out what God's going to do. I hadn't figured out how I'm going to make it through this. But for some reason, I'm not coming apart. I know it's going to be all right. I have a confidence, assurance that God's going to work this out for me. That's the peace that has now moved beyond your ability to process and think and figure it out. You're now in a place of peace and trust and abiding in God, because you and He have had this conversation, and you brought your need to Him, and He downloaded grace to you, and when it showed up, there was peace, and instead of having a fall apart, you're holding it together. Now, that doesn't mean that you're a hero, from zero to a hero, and just like that. Sometimes it's a process, and it may take you a little bit to work through this, but you get to that place where peace shows up, and when it does, you know it's there. I've had that experience before. Many of you have. It's inexplicable. You can't really explain it to people. It's just a deep, abiding knowing. This is going to be all right. God's got this. And it's not a happy-go-lucky, flippant thing. It's a confident thing. And thank God for that. This is one of those scriptures like, I know that the Word of God's true because I've experienced this. Passes all understanding and will guard your hearts and mind. That word guard there is a military term of how soldiers would guard a place. Put on guard. Peace stands guard. Do not allow your mind and your heart to be taken hostage by that anxiety. So this is something in the spirit realm you do through prayer. Through prayer. When those things are going on. And there can be a lot of reasons that people are anxious, and I realize that sometimes there can be chemical, hormonal things and all of that, and there's a place for that, and there's a place for that to be addressed. But regardless of what's going on, prayer is always a good thing, always a good antidote, always, irregardless, be sure you use Philippians 4. Verses 6 and 7. Now, I need to move on because I want us to move into the verse 8. And we're going to see the role of focusing your mind in alleviating anxiety. Now, notice, because peace comes and guards your heart and mind, once again we see, oh, okay. So that one area that anxiety is attacking, it is my mind, my mental processing. How am I handling my thoughts? Isn't it amazing how fearful thoughts can just come in groves at times in situations? Worst case scenarios, and sometimes we'll even get into a negative prophesying. I knew this was going to happen. You know, we'll get into agreement with what the enemy's wanting to do, and we need to avoid that. I know it's difficult at times, but that's where we got to stay connected. But the role of focusing your mind, because it goes on to say in verse 8, that very next verse, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. This is a bullet list of the kind of thoughts that will serve us well to occupy our mind. And as a matter of fact, it's a pretty good litmus test. I was sharing this, Mickey and I were talking about this, I think it was yesterday morning, and I was, yesterday morning or this morning one, I was talking to her about this verse, and it's like, ouch. You know, this is basically telling me, if something's in my mind, and I'm thinking and I'm processing something and I can't praise God for it, then I need to do a double check on that thing. If it's not virtuous, this whole list, whatever things are pure, true, noble, the whole list, I won't spend time going through those, but just mark that. Think about those things you should be thinking about. Use this to, if you're dealing with some anxiety, just stop. Okay, this thing that's really got me anxious, first of all, is it even true? So often, it is amazing to me in the cyber world how the puller of strings, whomever he or she may be, can post something and without even investigating to see if it's valid. There's some, like one site is Snopes, S-N-O-P-E-S. I mean, I've had some great stories I've read. I thought, I'm going to share that in a message. That's just powerful, but I'm going to Snope it. And then I realized, no, that's not true. That's just something somebody made up. But just because it's on Facebook, well, how can I say this? There is a level of authority the Holy Word of God has. Amen. And the whatever's posted on Facebook is not the equivalent of that. So, if it's not true, so at least discern if it's true or not. If it's noble, is it honorable? Is it excellent? Just? Is it righteous? Does it somehow relate to justice? And go through the list. It eliminates a lot of stuff. And then if you find out it is true and it is on there, well, then ask the Lord if it's something you need to be thinking about, if you need to be involved in. I mean, this is just ABCs here, but it will help us because God gives us grace to do His will. But not everything that He calls everybody else to do in the world is necessarily His will for you to do. But if it is, you'll have grace to do it. And if you want to become frustrated, start doing something you haven't been given grace to do. And if you want to become more frustrated, try to get a bunch of other people to help you do that thing. That this list can be helpful in numbers of ways. Okay, there's another scripture along with this. I love this verse. This is a refrigerator verse. Stick it on there. Read it often. Isaiah 26:3. Actually, this is a song Isaiah was given. If you read the first couple of verses. You will keep him, speaking of the Lord, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. The KJV says he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusteth in you. The idea here is when we're focused on what we're supposed to focus on, God's presence will be there again to stabilize us, solidify us, and to strengthen us because he trusts in you. In other words, by keeping our mind on the Lord and our focus on the Lord, we're demonstrating our trust in the Lord. Well, I trust the Lord. Well, when's the last time you asked him about something? Well, I trust him. Well, when's the last time you know he led you specifically to do something because you just confirmed it in your... But I trust him. Trust implies a relationship. It implies an entrustment too. You're trusting him with your decisions. You're trusting him with your life. You're trusting his leadership for you and to you. I love this verse. I shared with you not long ago, and I'll repeat it tonight for the benefit of others who may be here that were not here a few months back, but one morning I got up and I forgot what it was that got me worked up, but it was one of those times. There's no shortage of things that can work us up I think I'll get worked up mood, so. And I just felt, you know, like beginning to get a headache or something. So I went and I checked my blood pressure, and I don't have high blood pressure, but it was high. It really was. And I realized, well, you know, this is affecting my heart, the pressure in my body. This is affecting me, you know. And so I just quieted myself, and I focused on the Lord, and I just started breathing real deep, focusing on the Lord, just, you know, like, and count to seven slowly, let it out, count to seven. Just focus on the Lord. Don't be distracted by anything. Don't be thinking about the thing that you were thinking about that shot your blood pressure up. That's the last thing you want to think about. And don't even think about not thinking about it. Just don't think about it. Because if you're thinking about not thinking about it, you're still thinking about it. So you've got to just not think about it. And the way you just not think about it is you think about something else, and the best something else you can think about and not think about that is to think about the Lord. So you focus on the Lord and begin to take some deep breaths with your eyes closed and just quieten your body, quieten your spirit. And I'm not getting new age on you here, but just get some union between spirit, soul, and body. Let your spirit man control and bring your body in alignment with that through your breathing, ruach, spirit, breath. Take a those deep breaths. And I did that for 3 or 4 minutes. I took my blood pressure and it was perfectly normal. I mean, it came down 20-something points, the systolic over the diastolic. Systolic, I think, the top number. Whatever the top number is, it came just came right on down there where it's supposed to be. Isaiah 26:3. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. And let your spirit man govern your life. All right, let's go to the third thing. I want to talk about the role of casting our cares. The role that plays in alleviating anxiety. And, of course, I'm referencing 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Another one of my favorite scriptures. I'll read verse 6 to develop the context here. Therefore, humble yourself. That's after he talks about don't be proud. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. And being proud sometimes when we're talking about anxieties, I can handle this. I can do this myself. You know, I'll just take control. I'll get myself under control. Well, if you excuse me, I meant to turn this thing off. Yeah, I'll have to talk to you later, sis. Okay. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him. Why? What an invitation. Hey, I love you. Let me help you. Can you kind of frame that around your thoughts? God wants to help me because He loves me. Jesus wants to help me because He cares about me. So what do? We take our cares, the thing that we're giving our focus, our attention, our consideration that's beginning to cause us to have the come apart. We take all those cares and we go to the one whose care and attention is on us. He cares and loves us. And we cast them on Him. Who invites you to do that? The Lord. You think He means it? So do you think it's something helpful? So why would we choose to carry it around, to keep under that burden? Why do we stay loaded down with it? Now that doesn't mean we may not have ongoing circumstances, responsibilities, and something we're having to deal with. It's just a weighty thing. But that part of it that's straining your strength, dividing your attention, and causing things to break down in your life, that part of it will be done away with. And His grace will come to enable you what you could not do before. I love this word cast in the Greek. It was used by fishermen and sailors. It's the word they would use. It's the idea of taking an anchor and casting it overboard, or taking your nets and casting them overboard. Well, like if you're out in a boat and the wind and the waves are going and you throw that anchor out, it goes down, it finds something solid to hold on to and stabilizes the boat. And when we cast our cares on the Lord, roll them off on Him, hurl them His way, He's basically saying, hey, throw that to me. I'll handle it for you. I love you. I want to help you. And again, we're not told exactly everything that happens when we do this in this scripture, but the other scriptures have already painted that picture for us rather beautifully. He's going to take care of it. Whatever it's doing to you that's not good, He's going to take care of that so it doesn't do that to you anymore. His peace is going to come. His grace is going to come. And then the previous scripture, He will lift you up. He will exalt you in due time. He's going to handle that at the right time. It'll take, everything will come into its place where it needs to be. And if you'll just think about this momentarily, what are your options? If you don't do that, then what's going to happen? If you continue to live under that anxiety, then again, stuff just keeps coming apart. Your health, your family, your finances, because you can't focus, you can't do the things you want to do. Last thing, and quickly we're through, the role of saying and seeking in alleviating anxiety. I said it that way because that's what the Scripture says here in Matthew 6:31. Let me just read this for you. Jesus, the verses before, he goes through this, explaining the lilies of the field and the birds of the air and all of that. But then he says, therefore, do not worry. It's the same word translated anxious in Philippians 4:6, that merimanao. Therefore, do not worry, saying, notice that, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? So there's what we say, this is I shared Sunday about our words. What we say can produce worry. It's throwing fuel on the fire. What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? What about this? What about that? If this happens, if that happens, and you just get in that on that squirrel cage and you get it whirling and then things start flying off. Don't say those things. For after all these things the Gentiles seek. That's the way the world lives. That's not the way we live. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He's talking about your basic necessities. But what do we do instead? We seek. Watch what we say. So your saying is involved here. But your seeking is involved. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Again, you're going to God. You're putting Him first. You're acknowledging Him. And all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, this is one of those scriptures where we're clearly told, being a Christian or being a follower of Jesus Christ is not a trouble-free life. We're not promised that. Jesus states here that every day is going to have its own trouble. But here's something we can take away from this. Tomorrow's, you're not going to get grace today for tomorrow's trouble. Grace is for now. Grace is for when you need it. It's not like, Lord, I need some grace right now. Would you go ahead and give me what I'm going to need for the next month? I may not be able to drop by. No. He gives it to you in your time of need. As the need arises, and that keeps us connected with the Lord. Every day's got its own trouble. So don't worry about tomorrow. Fearing, fretting, worrying are not going to produce in our life the stability and the peace that we need to live life well. We want to be stable, and we want to be strong, and we want to be anchored. So, a simple meat and potatoes message about anxiety. And there's a lot of other scriptures that you could utilize, but there's a few bullets that you can fire away at the enemy with right there. So, Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Thank you that you give us instruction of how to deal with the things that want to pull at us and pull us apart. And in this atmosphere and in our lives tonight, I just say peace to you and grace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. We say to fear and worry, fretting, toxic thinking, away with you. We commit to your word, Lord. Help us to come to you with our anxieties. Help us to think rightly so that anxiety can't sow its seeds in our mind and produce its harvest in our lives. Help us, Lord, to stay focused on you. Help us, O Lord, to cast our cares upon you. When we feel the weight of them, help us to let go of them, to lay them at your feet. And Lord, help us, I pray, to guard our mouths that we wouldn't get into agreement with what anxiety wants to produce in us. And help us to seek you first. And always be people who are after your grace to do what we need to do, to live how we need to live, and to face what we need to face. And before I say amen to this prayer, I would just encourage you, if you're here tonight and you need prayer, maybe you're needing someone to pray with you to let go of a struggle, to get things in right order, or maybe there's sometimes we just need to confess someone. I have been pinned to the mat tonight by this word, and I need help, and I want you to pray for me. I confess it, but I'm doing that I can open my heart to receive the grace to be free from it. If that's you tonight, I'm going to ask some of our staff and leaders to be up here afterwards just to be available if anyone needs prayer. And we will be most happy to pray with you, to minister to you. Now, before we go, may the peace of God that surpasses your ability to comprehend and understand, may it guard your heart and your mind in Jesus Christ, because your life is hidden with Christ in God. You can do all things through Jesus Christ, who is your strength. In Him you live, in Him you move, in Him you have your being. Live for Him, in Him, through Him, for His glory. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you for being here this Wednesday. Have a great rest of the week.